T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our buddy Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback, 790 in Houston now, of course, where he's on, and he's with us every Wednesday at this time. Sean, how you doing? Welcome back.
Doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sean, what did you think about that overturn on that fourth and inches play?
Debatable, I guess. And I thought there was a lot of calls. I mean, it went both ways, too, with calls. I mean, the personal foul on Baker was not a personal foul. We know that. I'm with you. I was listening to what you said, a tad short, but I understand why fans were pissed. I can completely tell you that I can understand why fans were pissed. But you know what's sad on a game, a high scoring game like that, and a lot of lead changes, and a lot of big plays, and a lot of mistakes, is that we're still talking refs, guys, 4 weeks into the season.
That's right.
Not because of you guys, but because they're costing games. I mean, both sides have a bitching argument. This can't continue to happen. And an apology doesn't work. If you missed a call, it doesn't work because they're not giving you a game back. So I get pissed off on both sides, and I get, you know, I mean, the measurements are irritating and calls that are called back and personal foul calls. So in watching that game, there's a lot of good things to build off of. But you know, if you score 42, you should win a football game.
Sean, how would you assess Baker Mayfield's first career start?
Growing, but you know, okay. You know, if we're being honest, I mean, it's 20 to 41. And, you know, he completed, which to me, I can fix that because he's not a 50% passer.
You know, and he had 7 drops too, at least.
Yeah, exactly. And so the drops, and they'll even out. There'll be people that'll make a catch for him that they shouldn't have caught. And I'm going to get to those 7 drops here in a second about, you know, some of the stuff you hear is he's going to be an accurate passer, guys. That's in his DNA. That's part of it. You're either accurate or you're not. And he'll have games, but he'll always, for the most part, if I'm a fan, I'd err on the side of thinking that his completion percentage is always going to be better. But he made some mistakes. He's a gunslinger with some attitude, which I love. He's on a team that's still learning their way around. We got to quit making – I'm not even talking about him – and I know he wouldn't want us to talk like this, but we've got to quit, all of us and anybody, whether you're a fan or not a fan, of making any excuses that, hey, we're young and we're getting better. I don't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? You get to a point where you still got to line up and play. And he knows that at quarterback. And he's a great leader. They will continue to respond to him. I told you, I still believe this team can win, you know, can be a force, at least a threat in the NFC North this year. I mean, I believe that. And of the 7 drops, I keep hearing about this velocity crap, okay? They're throwing the ball hard and this and that. There's a time when you change trajectory on the ball and know on a 5-yard check down, you don't have to kill the guy with the football. But I don't want to hear on an in cut or a curl route or a swing route or a comeback, oh, the velocity on the ball. You know, you catch it, okay? Ball hits you in the spot, catch it. Touch is one thing.
That's right.
But this time in tight windows, I don't want to hear 7 drops. I don't want to hear, well, the ball's coming so fast. Well, the ball came fast out of Favre's hands. Came fast out of Elway's hands. It comes fast out of Mahomes' hands. I know you got to change trajectory, like I said, a 1, a 2, and a 3 throw, but those are excuses that we make for losers. And I don't think that the Cleveland Browns have players that are losers, and I don't think that the fan base, I know the fan base is a fan base that loves to win, and I know the players want to. So we've got to get some of those excuses out. Oh, too much velocity. Oh, you know, the drop ball. Yep. Drop balls are going to happen, and one day they may make 4 catches they weren't supposed to make. So his first start, to make a good question, a long answer, I'm impressed with part of his game. You guys know I think he's going to be a star in the league, and he's going to have these. And the one thing that was in common with all 4 of the rookie starters last week, they had flashes of brilliance and moments of suck. They did. Yeah. Mayfield and Darnold. Darnold struggled the last 2 games, and he struggled against your Cleveland Browns, and Rosen had some balls dropped and didn't play very well, and Allen looked like a rookie too. So, but then they're all going to be – I mean, we're in good hands with our young quarterbacks, man, not just the rookies, but Wentz and Watson. And I mean, we got some really good starters and, well, some old starters too in this league. So you guys have your quarterback of the future and the present. I'm a fan.
Hey, Sean, I want to take you back to another moment in the game. We talked about the fourth and inches play, but after that play, or after the overturn, the Browns were—it was a minute. It was almost 2 minutes to go.
Minute and a half. They're up by eight.
It's fourth and like 6 inches, literally, at the just shy of the 19-yard line. Now, I understand it's deep in your own territory, and I understand it's not conventional wisdom. But I was, for the moment they were in that situation, I was convinced that the smart play is to go for it on fourth down and take the risk because you're up by eight. In the end, the two-point conversion, you stop that one play, you win the game anyway. And the numbers say on quarterback sneaks within 1 yard is almost a guaranteed first down. A lot of people have disagreed. Dustin and I both feel strongly about this, even though it's unconventional wisdom. What say you on that?
Wait, unconventional instead of kicking the field goal, you're talking about?
No.
So it's basically the last possession of the game.
They're up 8 points. You're talking about.
Correct.
They're up eight.
They have to go.
They have fourth and like 6 inches. The Raiders just use
all their timeouts. So if you get the fourth and inches, the game's
over. Instead, you punt when your defense has been getting killed in the second half.
You're talking about the last drive when they had to. If they punt, they're punting from backed up and they got to go the distance without any timeouts. Up eight.
Correct. Yeah.
We're going over that argument here in Houston about what Frank Reich did.
Last week.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
there's similarities. So when they're, you know, and on the backed up, now, it, to me, it would have been a, now let me ask you guys this. If it would have been going in, would you have kicked the field goal or gone for the quarterback sneak?
No, I'm asking you.
Would you have kicked the field goal or gone for the quarterback sneak if the ball was at the 7 yard line on their end of the field? What would you have done?
Oh, in that case, I would have probably kicked the field goal. Because that would put me up 11. It would have put me
up 11, right?
Yeah.
To go up 11.
Yeah.
I normally am 100% on your guys' take on this. Be aggressive.
Yeah.
Get the quarterback sneak. And if it works, you're a hero. Clock runs out. You take a knee and we leave since they don't have any timeout. But I personally, guys, honestly, in that situation, what if there's a lot of what-if scenarios. And
sure.
I don't ever like to take aggressiveness away. But you got an 8-point lead. To trust the fact, don't you want to make them go longer to get the 6 in the 2-point conversion than shorter?
Absolutely, but the percentages of quarterback sneaks within 4th and 1 are almost 100%.
But also they're going to pinch and they're going to. I don't want to leave it in the hands of the official. Is my point?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? On a close one and a measurement, and everybody's blocked in there. I would have punted in that situation. I would have got it out of. I would have got it out of my foot quick and trusted that my defense would have got a stop. To make them go the long way as opposed to the short way. That's what I would have done. I know how things turned out, but looking back, and I do understand the stats, and hell, I usually like the Mike Leach approach, fourth down, friggin', let's go for it. But there are certain times when you just got to, and I think you put the trust factor on a unit, and I get it, guys, I know what you're saying, but I probably would have punted as well.
Fair enough. We'll agree to disagree, but I understand. I understand why people would punt. I get it, even though I disagree. All right, Sean.
And that's fair. And I love the aggressiveness, especially when you're a team that's, you know, you're battling and you want to get another win and you want to get Baker's first. I get that.
And he'd been very aggressive the whole game, going for twos instead of extra points. It was part of the game. That was his game plan the whole day, being aggressive. I thought he should have stuck with his nature of the game.
And judging from that point, when you decide you're going to be like the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, they'll go for two on a regular, but when it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
They'll open up the game, hit a touchdown, and go for two. So if you're going to play that route, I get where you guys are coming from and stay the course.
What did you?
Situation, and you get the point, you get a little bit, and you guys know this, when it becomes nut cut time and that your rear end's so tight you can't drive a nail through it with a sledgehammer, you do it. And I usually err on the side of that, but I think I probably would have trusted them to get a stop and get off the field. And we saw how the game ended, unfortunately.
What did you mentioned the Frank Reich thing. We liked that he did that. What did you think about it?
You know what? My initial thought, and I'm not a big waiver guy. I know it's luck. I know it's the Colts. But I've watched the Bill O'Brien play calling. Now, in that game, they were pretty good. He was aggressive. But the first 3 weeks of doing what we were just talking about, of playing it not to lose as opposed to playing to win, 10, 15 more yards of real estate, I would have done what Frank Reich did. In that situation, on your half of the field, it took one completion for a field goal, just one. I would not have gone for it there. Now, if it was at the 46 And I'm going against, guys, I'm going against my philosophy most of the time. I love aggressive quarterbacks. I love it. You got Andrew Luck, but you're still the Colts. You're not very good. And I would have, and I've seen the Texans the first 4 weeks of the season, that their clock management has sucked. I would have played, and I don't like to play for ties, but sometimes when people say, well, a loss is, a tie is just like a loss. No, actually, a loss is worse than a tie. So in that situation, while you're going for it, if that's the case, then draw me up a better play. If you are going to go for it, you got to give me more than one option to get Andrew Luck the football out of his hands. I did not like the play call. I was okay. I would have not allowed them to give, especially in the division. I would have probably settled for a tie, which goes against my normal 10 yards of more real estate. If I was Frank Reich, I'd have gone for it. I butchered the call then, and you know, I thought about it a million times and watched it a million times. I probably would have done the opposite of Frank Reich in the situation.
Sean Salisbury is our guest, 790 in Houston, of course. Sean, speaking of in division, the Browns enter back into the division this week against the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, the Ravens have been surprisingly good. And Joe Flacco, you know, maybe the drafting of Lamar Jackson has lit a fire underneath of him because he's played great. And their defense seems like they're back. What sort of challenge is it for Baker Mayfield this week against probably the best defense he's going to see?
Yeah, they've always built it on that side of the ball. I'll tell you what's been great this year is for Baltimore is the explosiveness and kind of the free-flowing stuff that Joe Flacco's playing with. He's playing really good. We knew going in, and they've always their great defense has been overshadowed the last couple of years by their putrid offense. But now they've become more explosive. Joe seems to be, you know, playing at a high level that he hasn't, in my opinion, consistently played at the last couple of years, hence why they drafted a first-round quarterback. That defense is nasty. They're well-coached. They will get after it. He's going to face different looks. He's going to face confusion. And what the Baltimore Ravens will do, they'll try to create confusion with the guys up front, not just the quarterback. It's one thing to confuse the quarterback on directing protections, but it's also a way to confuse the linemen to, you know, who are we going to block? Know who to get and how to get them, as Denny Green used to always say to us. So they'll pose confusion. But you know what? This fits what he loves to do. You're going to challenge him, and he's going to fight. He's going to punch back. But you've got to be efficient. You've got to take your chances. And you also can't hold the ball on. They'll get after you. They're aggressive. They're not going to back off it, but they're also not going to line up in one or two different looks and stay there the whole game. So that'll be his challenge. And we know the confidence Baltimore's playing with offensively right now, which is, to me, one of the surprises of the league that they're playing this aggressive offensively because I didn't trust their offense, but they're playing well. Baker will face the challenge, but you know what? I like the fact that I got a guy who won't back down from it. I love a quarterback who's willing to throw two picks and then is willing to win a game to risk throwing a third one as long as it's a smart decision.
Yeah.
That's him, and I do like it. And I can tell you this, I'll promise you, the Baltimore Ravens are sitting back saying, we got a guy who's active, energetic, the ball comes out quickly, coming off an average game. I wouldn't expect him to complete 50% again. I think the Baltimore Ravens know what they got to deal with in Baker Mayfield, and it'll be fun to watch this guy in a second start. Why not this week?
Sean, we got just about 30 seconds, but real quick, what's a team that's played much better than you thought so far and a team that's been much worse than you thought so far?
I'll tell you, I love the way the Redskins are playing defense, guys. I do. I know they have bye week, but I like the way that they're playing. And, you know, I don't think that division's a stone-cold lock for Philadelphia. I don't. I'm impressed with them. There's plenty of others to be impressed with. How can you not love the Kansas City Chiefs' approach on offense and the aggressiveness they're playing with? And so I thought they'd take a step back, ironically, with Alex being in Washington, take a step back, losing the veteran. On the other side, I think the Miami Dolphins are overrated. They're 3-1.
Agreed.
I know people like them. I think they're highly overrated. Their aggressiveness. How do you go into New England? You got a chance to have a 3.5 game lead, and you not show up, not play with aggressiveness, play scared. I thought it was a weak ass weekend by them, and you let the New England Patriots get their confidence back. That when we're done, the Miami Dolphins will not make the playoffs.
No
they're
doubt.
Not a playoff.
Completely
so,
agree.
So that's it, guys. And you know what? Ask me next week, and I'm going to say, go for it on four of the ditches.
That's right.
Go for it overtime.
Sean, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys are the best.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Sean Salisbury from 790 in Houston.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.